Among my people, it is a widely held belief that an infant would become whatever its mother had craved. Sugar, and a child would turn out sweet, for instance. Or plantains, and the baby would grow sturdy. Pregnant women were therefore advised not to spend too much time in the sun, and certainly not to stare at it directly, for fear that their baby would be born an akaraw, a sun child, the strangest creature whose skin was so pale it glowed, and who couldn't open its eyes except to squint, destined to be nearly blind, an affront against nature. Yet on the long bus ride from my parents' house in Manila to my hometown of Talaksan in the province of Bulacan, my grandmother, Nanay Coro, told me that as soon as she held me in her arms, she was sure I was a blessing. She refused to allow anyone to talk about me any other way, especially because I was destined to live in America, the richest of countries, where Mama's father, Lola Bert, had settled, full of people who looked like me. And anyway, I wasn't like other anak araw. My mother stayed away from the sun when she was pregnant, but craved sweet corn. And so that was how I must have ended up with corn silk hair and fair skin. Though I did burn in the sun, I wasn't near blind like I was supposed to be, only nearsighted, which was lucky since I wouldn't have known what to do with myself if I couldn't read. As our bus sped across the highway through an endless series of rice paddies, which I perceived as patches of yellowish brown since it was April and the fields had been harvested, my grandmother assured me that I was meant for a better future than her and our ancestors, farmers who had tilled soil in the fields surrounding our village for generations. "This is because you are fair and beautiful," she said, "not dark and ugly like me." I learned not to protest because I'd heard similar words many times before, not just from her, but from other relatives and neighbors in Talaksan, where I lived until I was 3. I'd spent the last 2 years going to school in Manila and only making weekend visits back to the place I still considered home. But after my grandmother discovered that Mama had been locking me in my bedroom to go out after I fell asleep, and having learned that a distant cousin had died in a fire in the middle of the night, she insisted that I return to Talaksan and wait another year to start first grade with other kids my age. "There are people in Manila who think I look abnormal," I said. "They're just jealous they don't have a child like you." I looked forward to living in Talaksan again, where no one found me strange. We eventually got to the bus station in Baliwag, the closest city to our municipality, where Nanay and I walked to the jeepney stand for our town. There were no jeepneys when we got there, which meant that it would be at least a 30-minute wait. So Nanay Coro decided to stop by the dry market to get some supplies. On our way, we passed by a store that sold cassettes, and I asked my grandmother if she would buy me one. Papa owned cassettes back in Manila, but I'd never had one of my own.